Happy New Year, everybody.
Hey, guys. What do you?
Welcome to, episode 52 of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, the first one of 2021. Really excited to do this. We had a two-week break, was it?
Kind of like 10 days or
like
something.
Like 10 days or something, right?
And do you brought the goods.
This is the beer that we keep trying to get to sponsor us. Zöttler beer, gold, best beer in Germany. So cheers to that.
Cheers, buddy. And yeah, we did we tried something new today. We got a camera rolling.
That's right.
So probably afterwards we're gonna have some clips out of it. We built ourselves a cozy little kind of YouTuber studio situation.
This is perhaps the coziest I've ever felt in your living room. I like when things become sort of like an enclosed pocket.
Yeah.
You know, when you have like a warm sofa and there's like blankets and like this pillow's pushing in and like, you know, there's like things above me. It's really nice. But I've always really liked the guitar collection, and now I see these new lights, and I think it's a good way to start the whole thing.
Actually. Sure thing.
But I was, you know, what I was asking you what you did for New Year. So you and Tony went to Freiburg, see? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So what do you guys do there? Like, what's your New Year look like?
It was super awesome, and it's probably one of the most privileged ways to spend New Year's Eve during Corona and having those restrictions, like for people who don't live in Germany. Mm-hmm. We are in a sort of lockdown still, and there's this restriction that nobody must leave their house strictly after 9 p.m.
Right.
But my very best friend, or we call each other brothers, but beyond that, I don't know, slang way. Mm-hmm. He's not my actual brother, but he has lived with my family for a long time. And his girlfriend, they have a house around Freibergsee, which they usually rent out for tourists.
Right.
And since there are no tourists because of Corona, they invited us, so my girlfriend and me, to come and celebrate with them there in one of the empty apartments. And so we were still kind of quotation marks legal because we were two households.
Yeah.
And had the privilege, because if you go out on their backyard, mm-hmm. you have this amazing view over all Oberstdorf, and that was super nice, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's really
what about
cool.
Your New Year's?
It was similar in the way that we had a small group. It was me, Ify, and a couple of friends who flew in from Lisbon. So what they had done is they took a test on the way out of Lisbon, I think, or once they entered Germany, they had to take a test. And then they had to quarantine. And then everything was cool.
For how long? Because I heard that changed.
I think it wasn't 10 days.
Okay.
I think it was less. But
less
I know,
than 10 days, okay.
Or maybe it was 10 days. I know that they basically just, they took this test when they arrived in Germany. And then they went to, so they're a married couple. And they went to one of their, the mother that lives in Germany. And I think they got the results back. Everything was cool. So they stayed like quarantined with the family. And then we had stayed with her family for, I don't know, like she went down, I think, on December 18th. And then I went down on December 20th or 21st. And then we stayed there together. So they had only been with like their family tightly knit. And we had only been with our family tightly knit. And then basically once New Year came, We had this plan originally to drive us four together to this apartment that her parents have in Bodensee. Have you ever been there before?
No.
I've talked about it before, though.
You talked about it before, and I've been at that apartment, but obviously I know the Bodensee, and I've been there several times.
It's super nice. It's super nice. But the thing is, it's actually better in the summer, because the apartment,
sure.
The way it's placed, like, it's right on the water.
Yeah.
It's right on the water. So when you sit there, you know, the windows look, it's on the top floor, and the windows look out, you can see like the waves, not like big waves, but just the lake waves kind of moving. And you can see really far. You can see Switzerland. And over there, you can see you can actually see a mountain in Oberstdorf from where we are in the window.
Oh,
you can see like, if it's really clear, you can be like, that's a mountain in Oberstdorf. Her dad knows the name of it, but I don't remember.
So for people who don't know, Bodensee, or its English name, Lake Constance. It is the biggest lake of Germany, and it's also in between Germany, Austria, and Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And all three countries have access to it.
I wonder if you committed like a heinous crime and you drove a boat out to the middle of it, if you'd be like in uncharted water technically.
There is something like that, and there have been cases of people who, I don't know if it was a demonstration or some form of happening, but mm-hmm. basically people organized an event, and the local officials didn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just went out on a boat and did it on the lake. And then there was this big lawsuit about it, whether they were still on German territory or not, etc.
I think that's super interesting.
Yeah. So it is not that big. It's not a huge lake like I don't know, lakes maybe you know from the States.
Yeah, it's not enormous.
It is still big.
But it is big.
But it's not huge, but people still treat it like they're, some even call it their little sea.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
To think of it. The thing is,
but people are not used to that big lakes here.
In Germany.
Yeah.
But there are some. I mean, there are some, but none of
those.
Tegernsee and Ammersee.
Yeah, but they're still not that huge.
Tegernsee is pretty small, right?
It's not that big. Yeah, Ammersee is bigger.
Yeah.
And I even think Starnbergersee is bigger. Those are super nice lakes, but it's not like, I don't know, these huge lakes, you know, from northern states in the US and Canada, etc. Or somewhere more in Eastern Europe, etc.
Mm-hmm. Do you think people in Bavaria flock more to are there more lake people? Like, because I feel like in the summer I only hear about people who are just flocking to lakes. Or do you think it's more people who are really trying to get to the mountains in the wintertime, like lake time? Or do you think it's the same people and it's just the same amount of people?
I think it's just, if I get you right here, I think it's the same people.
Just like the outdoorsy people, right? I guess it's just 40 people.
I think it's more of the same people, because the really nice, clear lakes are not that far away from the mountains. So those are basically people who go to Starnbergersee, Tegernsee in the summer.
Right.
Are the same people who are going for skiing, etc. in the winter.
Yeah.
And I even felt that I cannot speak for everyone from other situations there, but I've been to Berlin and Hamburg and in the summer, and realized that it is not such a big of a thing that people go out on lakes when it's hot. Like in Munich, you have people jumping into the river, the Isar.
Yeah,
but also people like, hey, it's Saturday, super hot. Let's just take a car and go for Starnbergersee, or I don't know. Me living in Western Munich. Out here, 5 kilometers away, there's a few super nice and beautiful lakes.
Mm-hmm.
You just go out for a swim, hang out there on the kind of beach, quotation marks, etc. So I think it is more of a southern Germany thing.
Mm-hmm. Are the lakes in this area closer to you than the Isar is, the river?
Yeah. No.
Or is it just you just prefer that more because it's a bit more excluded?
Yeah, it's if you bring it down to, I don't know, kilometers or something, it's probably it's not that nearer, but the way there is easier because I don't have to go through inner city, but it's just mm-hmm. I don't know, small roads, because not that far away from here, there's really this moment, it's, I don't know, 2 kilometers from here where the city ends, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, the last houses, and then there's fields. And what comes out there is, Paulanerbräu. They have their big kind of brewery there. But the city ends there, and you ride with a bike or with my scooter until then, and then, 2, 4, 5 kilometers more.
Right.
So the way there is pretty easy. And the lakes are super nice. We have to go there sometime.
I've never been out
there. Next summer after recording.
Yeah, I've never gone out there, I think, at all. I was just, I've only, I, mostly I just go to the river in the summer, but Man, I'm super off topic with this story, but basically, like, we were supposed to go to this Lake Constance, and then, yeah, I don't know. It just felt like, I don't know, we had some stress at like, you know, there's always, like, some stress with family during Christmas, and we just thought, like, you know what's easier? What makes more sense is that they were actually in Oberstdorf, too. They were in the same town.
Ah, okay.
So it just made so much more sense to go to this other apartment.
And to, like, stay within Oberstdorf.
Yeah, it just made more, it was just easier to do that. So basically, there's this other apartment building that was rentable, maybe like 2 minutes drive from where we were up this, like, up higher in the mountain. And oh my God, man, the view is super beautiful up there. You've been up there before for sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's super, super, super nice at the Marienhof. It's these gorgeous mountains all around you, and you can see down into the town. I mean, there's just like hundreds of endless hiking trails and stuff. And we went on some walks, but it's more relaxed. But basically, yeah, we just went up. We four met there and had breakfast like the morning of the 31st. And then we spent the whole day there. And I think we played a lot of Nintendo Switch. Like, a lot of Nintendo Switch. And then, like, I don't know, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, we started drinking, and then we started cooking. And what was kind of weird but cool was the dinner choice, because, like, the guys who were visiting us, they're really into cooking and they're really into trying new things and kind of branching out into the styles and stuff. And I've never had a Thai fondue for a holiday meal. I've only ever, like, I've gone out to, like, a Thai restaurant or something and, like, tried it, or had someone be like, okay, guys, I'm going to host a dinner, and I'm going to try something really special. Thing, yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, Thai fondue. What do you know? But this was like, let's do Thai fondue for New Year.
Better bring the good wine there.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, this was the Thai fondue for New Year. And for me, that was super unexpected and kind of strange, but also kind of cool. And, I mean, the fish was great and the sauce was great. And drank a lot of white wine and red wine and delicious Zöttler beer. And, yeah. And then the cool thing was, so it wasn't a crazy night. I want to ask you how yours was too, but basically we got to right around like 2 minutes before, whatever. No, sorry. Like 20 minutes before, we watched this video that I want to talk about.
Okay.
This video that you must know, and I think it's kind of crazy how popular it is in Germany and nowhere else, but the video that everyone plays on New Year, which is the Cheerio Miss Sophie, like the dinner for one.
Dinner for one.
Dude, can we talk about dinner for one?
Do you know, I wrote down in the podcast description of my winter sports podcast, because we covered the traditional New Year's jumping, as it's called, like the ski jumping event on 1st of January. Mm-hmm. You know, when the ski jumping is in Oberstdorf, a few days after Christmas, like it's this tournament for stations, like for...
Yeah,
for,
I watched Carl Geiger this year.
Exactly. And I made the joke that between December 30th and New Year's, the ARD, this big public TV station in Germany, is only allowed to play two things, or to air two things live. Dinner for One and ski jumping.
Wait, was that true?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. I was like,
but,
wow.
But it feels like that, because they play it on, like, because ARD, they have like so many sub channels, like the Bavarian one, the one for Northern Germany, etc.
Yeah.
And ones more focused on cultural topics, etc.
Yeah.
And like each of those 15 substations played it at another time, and on social media they released a schedule on where to watch the same little short movie.
It's like 12 minutes or something.
The same 12 minutes over and over again. And there really was this kind of, there wasn't a gap between, like, in the afternoon from 4 on until late after midnight, you would find one channel playing it at any time.
Why is this? Okay, for those, okay. So I'm guessing that anyone who's not German, who's listening to this show, will not know what this is, because I had no idea what this was. And I really don't get why it's such a traditional thing here. It's an English sketch play.
Yeah.
It's like it's a really cheap one too. It's like not some big production. It's like from the, I'd say the early 50s.
Something like that.
Maybe early 60s.
No, it must
like yeah, 58,
early 50s,
something like that. It's really old, black and white. I cannot online find a decent quality version of it, but
we have to link that in the show notes.
Oh my God, man, this is so crazy. So it's like 12 minutes long, and it is really funny. It's such a simple concept. It's like a really well written, like college sketch. It's like an improv sketch, not improv, but like a sketch comedy sort of bit that they just practiced a lot, like a play. Basically, it's one set. It's one location. It's this dinner table at this rich old lady's house. She's blind, and she's having this like traditional, I think she's blind, isn't she?
She's not.
She can't see so well.
That is this thing where people, I think, to this day argue about if whether she is, because the plot goes like, she has dinner and the table's decorated for like, I don't know, six people or something. Like all those British gentlemen that used to come and visit her every year.
Yeah.
And she's very, very old. And the second role is her butler, James.
Yeah, it's just and the two people, the lady and the butler. Yeah.
And it seems like, so all of those people don't live anymore, or at least don't come anymore to hers for New Year's. And but they keep up the tradition, and so the butler plays every of those fictional gentlemen's roles.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, people still have debates about whether this old woman is blind, or her guests used to be guests and are all dead now, and she still kind of plays this.
See, I thought it's kind of both. Like I thought in my head, like, She's blind, but she kind of likes imagining that they're still around.
Yeah.
And that she, at the end, you know that she knows that it's him. No. But for the first few rounds, you don't know for sure. Yeah. And I think that's kind of cool. But basically, like, yeah, he goes around. I think there's two seats on the left side of the table, and there's two seats on the right side of the table. And each one is like, yeah, like you said, like a soldier or a general from like a different army or whatever. And they all have their own kind of greeting to her, like a cheers. So each round.
And their own drinks.
And their own drinks, right. So like, you know, they do like appetizer with like, they do like a soup with vermouth.
Yeah.
They do fish, white wine with the fish. And then they do like a chicken with red wine or something like that. And then they have a fruit dessert with like a sherry.
Yeah.
And they do, all of them drink the glass. So of course he's drinking four rounds of alcohol every single time he does it. And then at the end, and like the main gimmick, the thing that makes it funny is the catch line, which is that every single time that she says, like, let's say like the second one, she's like, white wine with the fish? Yes, James. And he's like, same procedure as last year? Same procedure as every year, James. And he's like, same procedure as every year, yes.
And then he falls over this lion head on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just these like repetitive things. And his acting is so funny.
Yeah.
His body language and his eyes and the way he plays drunk is so funny. And at the end, of course, the big punchline is like, she's like, I think I'll retire to bed. And then he's like, same procedure as last year. And she's like, same procedure as every year, James. And then he's like, I'll do my very best. And he's like, winks at the camera and you're like, oh, okay. But why is this? I mean, it's funny. It's super funny and everything. But it's, first off, it's English. It's British English.
Yeah.
And it's not even famous.
Fun fact, because we have talked about it. It has not been a huge success in England.
Anywhere else.
Yeah. So like there used to be like a little hype about it when the British found out that this British sketch is such a big thing in Germany. Mm-hmm. But before that, it was not.
I mean, that's so crazy to me that something... I mean, it would be like if some like South Korean, I don't know, cooking program was really big in like Mississippi. It just doesn't make sense why this short, funny, maybe that's too dramatic of a difference, but like why this short, funny thing. And I don't know if it's because that's how Germans in a, it kind of generalizing here, like to envision the British.
Yeah.
Kind of like a, you know, a bit like rich and a little pompous and like a little funny and goofy. And I don't know if it comes back from like the war or if it's just like, when did it get popular in Germany and why?
I don't know, because I started to hate it at some point.
Really? I guess when you were a teenager, right?
We're back at the point where I rant about TV shows. But
this is fucking propaganda. But
to keep you guys tuned here, I gotta say something positive about a Disney movie later. But
so?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I watched it too. Go ahead.
But regarding Dinner for One, I'm not sure where the hype came from and why, but I find this kind of phenomenon in general super interesting, and you see it with so many different things. Last thing I realized is that there is a German guy, a DJ, like electronic music, who is just a normal guy with a day job in Germany, mm-hmm. but in, I'm not sure if it was Thailand or something in Southeastern Asia, one country, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And he's like a rock star there. Nobody knows him here, but he's a rock star there. And like the...
Okay. Wait. This is the Sugarman?
No,
that's the Africa. He was like famous in Africa, right?
Yeah. And you have that with so many things, or like cricket, the sports,
right,
which came from the British, and in India to today, obviously there's this history of colonialism.
yeah, they colonized.
But it's still a big thing, and I had the point there where I realized that as well a few weeks ago when I, for some research, I was looking at the list of the, how could you say that, the sports men and women, like the athletes on the world, mm-hmm. with the highest, what do you call it, marketing value, you could say. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's like football, basketball players, right. Soccer players.
Right.
But in the top 20, they also range some names. I guess most of the people in England and in the United States and our Western world have never heard of.
Because they play
which
cricket.
Which are cricket superstars in India.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah.
And this,
I never think about cricket. I think I've only watched like clips of games. I've never even watched a whole game.
Yeah, same for me.
But they last like days and days, right? One game lasts like a week or something.
It could, yeah. But I know too little about it.
Yeah, same. I have no idea.
We wanted to get a guest from India. Maybe if that works out.
Right. That was the last episode we talked
We could learn a little bit more about cricket.
But I really wonder, maybe that's something we just have to research, like why this thing came over, how it came over, and why it's such a hit, you know, to play on some station every 12 minutes for a whole day, once a year, you know. Like in America.
We can look that up in a second when we have to do a little break, because that we have one issue with the camera.
Because our camera is going to cook
and
out, right?
That is a funny story as well, right. Regarding different losses that you just checked. Because the camera we get is a great camera. But if you are recording, if you are shooting video, mm-hmm. it has a limitation that you can only record 30 minutes. And you just looked up why or if you can change that.
It's super weird, right? It's like just this European. So it's like the Lumix GH4. And this particular type of camera is sold, like, I think, through Panasonic. And only in Europe, it has this limit for 30 minutes, which you can technically, I've seen somewhere that you can hack it. But I don't know
hijack
how.
It, yeah.
Yeah, it seems too complicated. But that's, like, to save Panasonic money somehow on the distribution in Europe. And
yeah, because as far as I got it, because they would have to pay different taxes if they would sell camcorders.
This is
a DSLR camera.
Right.
And so they can still like sell it as a photo camera.
Right.
And it would be, regarding taxes and stuff,
must just be cheaper for the export.
Must be more expensive to sell video cameras than photo cameras. Why?
I don't know why. Especially nowadays, you know?
Super weird. Yeah, where everyone has a photo and video camera in their pocket.
I mean, this has 4K on it. You know, that's so wild to me that they would do it like this. But yeah, I don't know. It's really wild. But do you have any... Did you get asked on New Year's if you had any resolutions for 2021?
I didn't get asked, and I Don't.
I didn't get asked, and I don't want to get asked.
No, and I don't.
Do you ever play that game? Like, any New Year, did you ever say, like, okay, this year, I want to do X? Or not really? Or is that more of like a
I didn't really do that this year, because it's, I know, I'm a type of guy, I would say, I always have like those 3 or 4 things I want to achieve or experience over a year, or maybe 2 or something. And I have those plans and kind of try to make those things work out. But I don't have plans like, okay, this year I really finally gonna do this or that or whatever.
Right.
So obviously, like, I guess most of us, I or like most of people, I think about, okay, maybe let's do a kind of restart and work out more, etc. Like this, obviously, I have this in my mind, and it is kind of a motivational push. Like,
yeah.
I also have this, you start to work out more in January, right? Yeah, now my chest hurts so bad because I I started too motivated yesterday.
Nice.
But and it gets less, like with most people.
Sure.
So I have that, but I never say I want to achieve X, like you said. Do you do that?
Is it because you don't want to set yourself up for like a goal to fail at? Or is it just because you're like, you know what? I'm doing fine. I'm doing good.
I think that's basically, that has been, so like that's what I want to say next. I still have already done this years before, and set those certain goals.
Right.
And it was not like that I was totally, that I don't do it anymore because I was so disappointed because some things didn't work out like I planned or something.
Right.
It's more like I did this because I was not happy with certain things in my life at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I set that goal, maybe to motivate myself to change something.
Yeah.
And I felt like this year, I am super confident and I'm super happy, and so many good things happened to me, which is such a privilege in this crisis we're living through as a society.
Yeah.
But since I'm feeling good in general, there's a little here, a little there. You could optimize. You could do better, like always.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I was super happy this year, and so I didn't have to set a kind of goal for myself because I didn't feel the need to get myself out of something or to,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's kind of nice though. And you're right. Like I think that's a fine line where yes, it is privilege and yes, it is kind of a blessing, but I think you can still be just like genuinely just happy about it. You know, like I don't think you have to feel guilty that it is the way it is. Like, I feel very lucky about a lot of things too, but there's some things like with, you know, crossing into the new year and stuff where you're just like, you know what? It's okay to just be happy about it. Just like, I'm just happy that I made it to a new year and that my family made it to a new year. And that's like my real, like, I'm just really, really glad for that stuff. And I don't feel bad about being happy about it, because I think it's less about maybe like a privilege, but more of like, it's just this kind of blessing, and you're just really thankful to be on the positive side of it, because there's so many bad things that could have gone wrong in the last year. Like, so many unlucky people across the world. But I did have a resolution. Like, I was talking to a friend on New Year's and I was like, I think what I would really love to do is buy, well, this was just an idea from the working perspective, but by June 2021 or by July 2021, to somehow have like double the amount of creative output that I had in the whole of 2020. You know, like,
okay,
whether that comes out to, you know, writing more songs, right, like putting down more creative ideas on paper, or if that means doing more with, you know, because we have this new radio show coming up in February, or with this podcast, like, you know, we've already started the first episode of the year with a camera, which is really cool to give that perspective on like something different, you know, trying something new, or just, I don't know, maybe something I haven't thought of yet, maybe playing a new instrument or doing something with video or doing something with graphics.
Maybe you should start playing the damn flute.
Maybe I should stop playing the downflute. Did you like that one?
I like that one, and that's a whole topic on its own. I definitely want to talk about
because these videos. You're
doing some funny stuff on your social media since a while. Should we take a little break here?
Sure.
And then get back in.
All right.
So here we are again, and we were talking about New Year's resolutions, and I was trying to get to a point where we can talk about your TikTok kind of, I would call it, appearance, and the type of videos that you do is...
I call them educational,
videos. We can talk about what you do there in a second, but is that also something you count as creative output? That you count in your kind of, like, how do you want to even count that you doubled up your creative output?
I was trying to factor in, like, what I even mean by that when I tell myself that. I don't know if, like, because before the break I was mentioning, like, I don't know if that's, you know, writing more songs or if that's trying to do more with the podcast or with the radio show. But I also wonder if maybe... it's better to not like limit the specific output that it could go out of, but instead maybe be more open to letting myself create more, even in outputs that aren't something I've done before. Like I was even just thinking, because this even leads to the videos that you want to ask about, which is like, I never considered doing any videos like that ever. And then for some reason in like, I don't know, August or something of last year or maybe later, I started doing them.
How?
I don't know. I did like, let me look when I did the very first one. I did one. Let me see here. No.
Classic. who didn't clear his browser history there, my friend? I hope this is... you can hear this on microphone. Dude. Like, what's the first thing you want to hear when someone pulls out his phone?
Oh my god.
When you're masturbating?
For those who don't have TikTok, you have to know that when you open the app, it just starts playing a random video.
Yeah.
So this is some... some lady,
but the algorithm knows
oh
you.
Oh my god!
So now we know
that. Oh my god, that's so funny. Oh my god, that's the best joke the show has ever had. Ever. I hope the mic's picked up.
This might be the podcast version of Dinner for One.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Let's see. So the first one I did about anything, I think, was Runendust. Here's an example. How complex and energetic can be in German. For example. Oh, no. Oh, I remember now.
Okay.
I remember now. Yeah. The very first one I did was not this Ruinenlust thing. The first one I did was, I remember that, oh my God, that's so funny. I remember that we had a German friend stay over at our place, and they stayed on our guest bed. And then the next morning, we asked them how they slept. And our guest bed is like this fold-out sofa. So it's not like this amazing bed experience. Yeah. It's not like a hotel experience. But for me, it's also...
it's a decent guest bed.
Yeah, it's decent. For me, it's kind of cozy. But for some people, of course, they can't get it out of their head that it's just like this dinky, you know, sofa bed. And we asked them how they slept. And they did this really typical German thing, I think. I always make fun of Ify for it, which is like sticking their lips out really far, almost as if they're about to come off their face, and they were like,
like the Mark Boysen kind of sound,
huh? The Mark Boysen sound,
like this for the camera.
Yeah, like imagine like the duck bill, like the duck face that girls take for Instagram.
Yeah, it's a German invention, basically.
Huh?
It's a German invention, basically.
Totally. And I remember I saw that, and in my head, I was like, I know what she's saying. She's saying, yeah, I slept good. But what she's really saying is like, and then I had the video, of course, yeah. Like this whole thing of like, yeah, I slept okay, but it's not my favorite kind of bed. I prefer like a normal size bed with like a real nice thing with the nice this and the nice that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to complain because you were nice to host me and all this stuff. And it was just such an obvious thing that they were hiding behind this, yaw, with this like J-O-A, like, yaw.
Nah.
And I went crazy over that. And I was like, you know what? Like, I've been observing these kinds of things in German people for 5 years now. I'm going to start saying something about it. And then I did that one video and it went super viral. Like, I mean, in my opinion, like in, you know, from everything I've done, this was the most popular thing. And I was like, that's crazy that this one kind of goofy complaint that I did about a German word or a German phrase got this much attention. So then I shared it to Instagram. And the same thing happened where the attention was nice to it. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just like pick another interesting thing.
Yeah.
And that was what really kind of kicked off like the series that it is now, which is just, you know, finding like funny or interesting or complex German words and then making like a between like a 20 and 40 second video about it. And just doing that. And for me, the funny thing is, too, is like they're not really... Like, I think I'm a funny person, but I don't think these videos are, like, that funny. But for some reason, I think it's good enough content. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's interesting enough where some, like, you'll watch the 30-second thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's, like, it's kind of punchy.
It's, like, and, yeah, you really matched what people want to see and expect from that type of video. Let's just call it TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have those categories, like with like
this
in
is
a serial output,
right?
Like it's okay, and this is kind of a little TikTok show here. We got here an episode about this, but very right. short. You have the typical TikTok style of speaking into a camera, kind of camera like movement and cuts and cropping in, etc. and out. And it has a funny approach, and yeah, no matter if there's because I experienced like you had some where you made great jokes and they really were hilarious, but all of them work because the format works.
Yeah,
and they all have this funny approach, but and don't get me wrong, but not every single one of them is something that makes me laugh completely.
No, of course they're not all like maybe there's maybe I've done like 14 of them, I think, and like maybe two are like pretty funny or good, and the other ones are like okay. But the crazy thing is that they all do well enough for me to keep doing them.
Yeah,
you know,
and I think it works out because you also match the right peer groups there because on TikTok, young people and young Germans who are on TikTok are from a generation. Mostly that grew up with some English at least.
Right.
It has changed over the years so much what you get to learn in school, etc.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more common that people watch TV shows, etc. in English. We talked about that a lot already. But so it kind of you get those people, I think, the Germans who just like to see the perspective, like someone with another linguistical background, kind of making fun of what the semantic meaning is of that German word, and you don't think about it, so this new perspective catches them,
right?
And for non-German speakers, it's the obvious okay, what is it with that language? And here's a guy who's I don't know from the States like me and has more insight and can explain this to me. So it's
right.
for English speaking people, it's more like of a funny service bit, and for German people, it even more has this kind of comedy approach because
they're like, oh, look,
making
at my
them
language.
Laugh about themselves.
Yeah, that's it,
basically, and that's something it. That's I guess pretty American.
Yeah, I think so. Something about it works, and I enjoy doing them. Like it doesn't take me that long. I think, like you know, honestly,
dude, more people. It's like now it's in a way that friends of mine or people I know come up to me and like, The Jordan, this guy who does those videos on TikTok and Instagram.
Really?
Is this the same guy you do the podcast with? And I'm like, come on.
Really?
Yeah, it's that way around now.
Oh, that's funny. You know, that's the thing too, is like I've got more people to watch those than I ever had listened to my music. That's the crazy thing, man. Like, we thought this, you know, we have these goals for the show. I have goals for my music. And then I do some video about, like, I don't know, Domflute,
yeah,
like, which is like a fart flute or something.
Yeah.
And people are like, is that the video guy? It's no. Crazy. So that's what I mean too with like this resolution is, you know, what kind of content have I not thought of yet that might appeal to people the same way that this is? And like, how can I maybe, I don't know, make money with it? Or how can I expand that into something else? You know, I never thought about the, you know.
Or an ideal case, I could imagine like using this to create bigger audiences and more popularity for your other stuff or for the content you really care about. Because that's
right.
Because this whole thing is a topic that annoys me a lot. And it is especially weird in journalism because you always have to watch out that you work on the base of facts and you do not exaggerate just to get more clicks or use something. So that's something difficult, but something
right.
Journalism struggles with, that the guys like in sports.
Yeah.
When you talk about sports, nobody talks about, like, I don't know, winter sports in detail. That's why I am doing this, because I say, okay, everybody's talking about soccer and those, I don't know, three clubs. And they're... You know, there's like no real content. There's like the headline that the paparazzi has seen this soccer or football or basketball player's girlfriend with another guy at that restaurant.
Yeah.
And that's basically, it's no information really. And it gets so much attention, and so many people work on real content. And I mean, just like you said, the stuff you really work on is maybe stuff like this, or especially your music.
Yeah, yeah.
Something you really care about. And I mean,
yeah,
in your new album, it's like, I don't know, 2.5 years of work that flow in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you start to wonder, and that's why it used to annoy me, because I was like, okay, I'm putting so much work. And that's the dangerous thing about working in media.
Yeah.
Like the people you reach or don't reach and how much you give about that.
Yeah.
And you will always get to a point where you put so much work into something, and it could be music, it could be, I don't know, a podcast or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And you think like, okay, how this, where I gave so much,
yeah, yeah.
I gave so much for this, and nobody cares about it, nobody sees it, nobody hears it.
Right.
And then somebody else, or like in your case, myself.
Yeah.
I'm doing this super easy little thing here and there. And like 300,000 people seem to like that.
Right.
And
it almost seems unfair to everything.
Yeah, and one problem I think many businesses have, like music industry and media outlets, is that I think people tend to really fast think, okay, then this is the right way.
Yeah.
The things that get the attention, that's the stuff we have to do mainly. May it be musicians. Like, you see it with so many bands, where when you have conversations about, like when we talk about Coldplay, like we did,
yeah,
like guys like us are, yeah, the first two albums, like Parakeets and Rush of Blood to the Head,
right,
were great albums, but the stuff they did afterwards,
like since Viva La,
Viva La Vida,
yeah,
we just don't like, yeah, because they realized, okay, this type of songwriting works out and a lot of people like it, we can make a lot of money, that's where we go,
yeah,
and you have that with social media content. You have that with television, with radio, with podcasts, with music, with movies. There's, you can also transfer this to the discussion we had about Disney.
Yeah.
Putting so much effort in creating remakes instead of putting the same effort into originals.
Yeah.
And that's something that sometimes really fucks me up.
Yeah.
Because only this one idea catches a lot of attention doesn't mean it's the only right thing to do.
Right, 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 right. But people are so money hungry that when they have something that does work, they want to like squeeze it dry as much as they possibly can until the sponge is like a crispy, crunchy little cracker, you know?
No.
It's crazy. I just had this thought. Oh, you were talking about like putting ideas into original, like putting the money and the time into original ideas. What did you think of Soul? The new Disney. If you guys have Disney Plus, it should be on there now. The new Disney Pixar movie. Yeah,
have you seen it?
We just watched it last night.
Oh, nice. I watched it on Saturday.
What'd you think about it?
I love it.
Did you watch the one before Onward? The one that came out before it with the two purple brothers? They were like these like monster looking dudes, but they were in like normal clothes.
No, I've only seen this. The movie now. And I really, really love it.
That was pretty, from the beginning pretty different.
To end. And we talked about, because I was watching it with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
With who I watched all of these classic Disney movies as children.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the complete opposite. Like I said on this show, I hated all the musical stuff.
Yeah.
Phil Collins singing in German, etc. We talked about that. And she was the complete opposite. She loved, I don't know, Lion King, yeah. And her wish for Christmas was the soundtrack on CD or tape or something, and she would listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was super into that. And she was like, yeah, Moritz, we're really going to watch this? You know there's going to be music in it. And I was like, oh, shit, they're going to sing again. Exactly. But it showed that you can make a cool Disney movie with all the elements you would expect.
Yeah.
But without this classical music approach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really, really loved it. I really loved the storytelling and how they took on these really heavy topics.
Dude, death, like
the great beyond death and soul, yeah. And dying and birth and
yeah.
How souls got their shapes, and there's a lot of ironic stuff. That's with crazy. It. Like, okay, you few souls
are insecure
and you're
self-absorbed and
we have given too much into that one. The people are gonna have fun with them, and it's like there's so many
megalomaniac.
Yeah,
they're gonna have trouble with me.
there's so many different levels you can think about while watching, but they have done it with this. How do you say with this? Because those are heavy topics, and a lot of people, may it be authors or novelists or authors for film or whatever, or directors have had their try on this, on making some visualizing, maybe pictures by words or by actual images.
Yeah, yeah.
The great beyond, heaven, hell, whatever.
Yeah.
And and spheres and forms of life that rule there, may it be God or something else.
Yeah.
And this was so, it seemed so easy and so, because you always get into struggle because of religious interests, like
right.
Like Christians say you should not picture God, it's forbidden.
Right.
Stuff like that. You always get those kind of cultural conflicts with...
But like, not to make it like a false god.
Exactly.
Like,
so many, many different people believe in so many different stuff. What happens with you? And you know what? So this is
really... pretty risky.
It's risky territory. Yeah. But they did it in a... I missed a word right here. Like, unschuldig.
Like in a innocent or like a
neutral. Yeah, like in a really innocent version, yeah. But... still pretty and sweet and without really hurting anyone, but with great ideas and that really make you think, how they took on these, how they're called Jerry's.
Yeah. Jerry, dude, and Terry.
It's so great. That's how they really did this. Cool. Just with this one line drawing.
Yeah. 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 That's impressive. It
was awesome.
I really, yeah, you know, Disney Plus had these extras too. We could go back and see, like how they designed everybody and how they dove into the concept of what's the main character's name again? Remember that? The main guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nearly dropped the microphone here. Fork.
James?
No, it wasn't James. It was... Dude,
oh, that's gonna kill me. I can't believe we just forgot his name.
What's wrong with me?
Because we just watched it last night, but it was such a cool movie. I think the story about the jazz musician
Joe Gardner,
not James, Joe Gardner.
And what was the sax player, Dorothea Williams?
Dorothea Williams. That was cool.
Yeah.
So he was played by Jamie Foxx, and 22 was played by Tina Fey, and that was really cool. And I remember specifically loving all of the voices for the Jerrys.
Yeah.
Because they just fit this perfect little soft world.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them were like New Zealand accents, I think.
Yeah, I thought about, and there's one Terry, because I also watch it in
English.
And that
Terry was like either Australian.
Yeah, something else, but I really liked that.
South African or something. It was like kind of an interesting accent.
No.
And he had this, I think he was Australian, he had this perfect like twist on how he viewed everything. And
I had to laugh so hard when Terry, without spoiling too much, but when Terry has to do this job on Earth.
Yeah.
And he gets the wrong guy. Yeah. I had to laugh so hard. Such a funny
thing. Oh, you're going to be
not Joe Gardner.
You're going to be all right, aren't you? Just got a little secret here. Yeah, no problem, eh? That was so great. And I just love the voices.
So I will get this awarded. I request it.
Yeah. It's my job. I'm going to fix it. That was so cool, man. Yeah. Like, I loved how they handled this, the great before.
Yeah.
You know, because it was just so soft. It was just so sweet, you know, and they have this big portal towards Earth, like without spoiling too much, but just this idea of like before and after is so nice how they did it. And I remember even being like, there's this concept of the great beyond that they talk about that was even kind of mesmerizing, you know, like the way they illustrated it.
Yeah.
This idea of this path towards the great beyond, I was even like, oh, you know, I was kind of like captivated by it a little bit. And they're my favorite thing about the movie, without really saying how it looks and without saying what it means, is this concept of how they dealt with lost souls.
That's what I want to talk about.
That was
my
really
favorite
cool.
as well. But I want to say in general, how they illustrate that zone.
How they illustrate
like,
it
and
is
how,
perfect.
How close it can be somebody being very focused or being in a zone, may it be a musician, an artist, an athlete
too,
or whatever, but it is so close to those souls who are lost.
Yeah.
I found that super interesting. And this one guy, what's the captain's name?
Oh, man. he had the peace sign anchor or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's just the sign guy.
And they played Dylan, Mixing Up the Medicine. It's a
I
was in the basement. What's the song's name?
The blue submarine subterranean blue, Homesick Blues.
Yes, that's it. Woo! So all in all, amazing
Mixing
movie.
Up the Medicine.
I think we talked about so many details already, but what do you think about it? Who was this? Because that's what I thought about. Because I wanted to see it with my whole family, but then we didn't make it before I had to come back to Munich. And so I watched it here, but my sister was here. And then afterwards, I talked to my dad about it and whether they should watch it with the kids or not.
I was totally uncertain.
For what age group was this movie made? It's not a classic. It's because what they did well within the past, I would say 15 years with movies they brought out, just like Nemo and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are movies you can watch with a 6 or 8 year old. I don't know, but it's also fun for adults. Maybe you lose the kids in their teenage years.
Yeah, yeah.
But you still have a movie that entertains an older group and a pretty young group of children.
Yeah.
But I'm super uncertain. What is about this? Because I thought about my family, and my baby sister is 6,
mm-hmm.
but she is at a point where you would not expect it, but she asks really big questions, like about stuff like taxes and
oh wow,
and so many things that she cannot know about. I would say adults have to deal about within their life.
Yeah,
and I told my father, I think you could watch it with her, but I think there are other 6 years old who are at another point in their, what they think about, and they could see the movie and just, those are nice illustrations, there's nice music, it's fun to watch,
yeah.
And don't think about it, but with my sister, I guess she would ask a lot of questions, and so I told my dad, so if you want to avoid that, just watch it with my little brother who's 11. Mm-hmm. And maybe for some, or he turns 12 in 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
And maybe with somebody that age, it can be a great movie for them. But with this, with this younger child, she probably. I told him, if you want to avoid a lot of questions, don't watch it with her. That's what I said.
My only thing is, like, I don't think it's troublesome for kids to watch, like, the story that they're telling and how they handle the before and after death, I think is really nice. And like you said, like, kind of innocent and harmless how they do it. And I don't think that would be something that would be, like, sacrilegious to people or that would be harmful to children at all. I think it's a really cool way how they did it. The only thing I thought about was that there's two moments with the animation that are kind of like the early Aladdin. There's like a moment in the early Aladdin that, like, I rewatched recently and was like, oh, whoa, that's really heavy how they did that. And it, there's two moments. There's one moment with the first lost soul that they encounter.
Yeah.
And how they, you know, how they deal with that first lost soul. The animation's pretty scary. Like, you know, like when the lost soul is aware that they're in this location and, like,
yeah.
See, you know, like, who comes after them. And then there's the second one, which is, I have to be really careful here because it's the, like, the climax is, like, the big, I don't know if you remember, like, when this particular important character also becomes a lost soul.
Yeah.
And someone else has to, like, enter into that storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and there's, like, the big, like, the people with the wind and, like, the, you did this, you're the bad person.
I thought about which.
I was like, wow, that's scary, you know,
For kids. That reminded me of one other movie, or book.
That reminds me of, like, the big lion and, like, the old Aladdin, like, you shall not pass.
Yeah, but this kind of somebody who is. Did you see the those Harry Potter sequels? Like,
I saw all the movies.
The Beasts.
Oh, Beasts! This Fantastic Beasts.
Because I thought about that movie. Because did you see both of them?
Yes, I think I did.
And the evil power that kind of is about to destroy New York City is basically just this mistreated boy,
right?
Who is basically and that reminded me of that. Because also, like, it's just basically it's an innocent young boy, but who is confronted with so much evil in his life, and is a powerful creature and that reminded me of that. But I think that is not, I'm not sure, that big of a deal. I mean, in other movies for kids, like in Nemo, you have this moment where Bruce.
Oh yeah.
And the sharks come over, and it is, for me as a kid, it was super scary at for this 1 second, and I think you always have that. And I think they, and I don't think kids would be too scared of that because it's so abstract.
But the thing that I'm talking about,
yeah. Mm. But I wanted to say about that is that those scenes where I thought that could be weird for children, they solve those super nice and again so innocent, like how this one character dies basically,
right?
He falls into that hole,
right?
And you see him land on the way to the great beyond, like on this street basically.
Yeah.
That was a super nice transition,
yeah
and stuff like that. And I thought about it, but I just wonder about all of this just because of the ideas that the movie wants to translate somehow. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If that, I don't think it would be too scary for kids of any age or something. I just wonder what would it do to kids to be confront if they would get it first.
Yeah.
First off, and what would it do with little kids being confronted with those big ideas or those big theories about their existence and the meaning of life, if there is one, etc.
I wonder if because it deals with real topics, and not your just purpose princesses. In life. Yeah, I wonder if because it's with purpose and because it's like you know, this conversation of what happens before and after existing is the greatest, you know, human conditional question of all time. I wonder if they might interpret what they see as real, you know, like real, but like, you know, oh, I guess that's really what it must be like. They must have done some research, you know. I wonder, I don't know, because I mean, with things like Aladdin, like, so for me, it was like Aladdin, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, you know, these early 90s things like The Mask, whatever, but that's not Pixar, but just, you know, these ideas. No. There was never a moment in my head at all that this was anything connected to reality. It was like, here's a princess, here's a genie, this is a cool story, I'm enjoying the story. It's a funny story, it's you know, romantic, whatever. But there was never an idea of like connected to reality. And the interesting thing about Soul is that it is the first Pixar movie that deals with not only an extremely believable and realistic type of person, like Joe Gardner is a real guy. Like I know people like Joe Gardner from New Orleans, you know, like I know these types of people. And they even based Joe Gardner's playing and his body language and everything off John Baptiste, who's like the piano player for Stephen Colbert, who's also from New Orleans. So like they have this whole thing that's really believable and true and kind of sad about like real life and about artists who maybe didn't make it where they wanted to make it. And it's kind of the truest story I've seen them tell. So how do children, when they connect to such a realistic person like Joe Gardner, how do they view what happens to him, you know, before and after death in a sense, you know? Is the way they perceive, is the way that they've portrayed this non-existence going to be as realistic to them as the way they portrayed existing?
But that's what I said when I mean, there could be kids that you could easily show it to because I think, and you must not forget when the funniest thing for me at the moment is when I have my parents just to watch my little baby sister watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a whole nother thing. Like she's 6 years old and she's now at a point where she's allowed to watch first, I don't know, TV shows. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you've heard of Heidi. It's very famous.
I know like the two girls. Like
Or the Astrid Lindgren stuff. You probably know.
Which one is
that? Astrid Lindgren. Now we're touching.
No, I don't know.
Astrid Lindgren is this very, very, very... or in Europe at least, very famous Swedish author who wrote these great novels, and there were great movies about it and shows, whatever, like third stuff. And she watches that, and to watch her watch TV is so fascinating because it's really the TV turns on and she's like, in the zone, like she's in the zone, like her eyes are glued to what is happening on this between this frame, and as long as you don't turn off the TV, you could do what everyone around her she wouldn't realize. And and I think with kids it could be that, and if they've seen another Pixar movie or another animated movie,
mm-hmm.
that they don't even think about those different levels and what is real and what is beyond, and it might just be a story where there is tiny speaking bubbles flying around.
It's probably just the pretty colors and the bubbles are talking.
But there also could be...
But with your brother who's like 12, then he'll know the story.
That'd be another story, yeah.
Then he'd have to... Yeah. But then maybe he's old enough by 12 to see this as a fictional, silly story, you know?
And that for me, maybe just to close it, to make another tiny break here, this is... It is a beautiful movie, and I love so many things about it.
It's like great.
The looks, the humor, the
reality of it,
the reality of it, and the storytelling. But fascinates me the most is that it is an animated Disney Pixar movie, and still after this little conversation about it, I'm not sure who it was made for.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really true, because I think it's one of those rare, nice little movies that is obviously targeted towards children, but it's really easy to watch as an adult.
Yeah.
You know, like I think even my mom could really get into it. I got into it like as a musician and as someone who's like this, even if you're not a musician, like Joe Gardner's story is something that's so easy to follow and connect to as an adult because it's it's kind of sad, and it's kind of like real, like what he's addressing his failures. He's addressing what living a full life actually means for an adult person. Is it really your dream being your purpose, and that, you know, if you don't follow that dream to the nth extent, that you've wasted your life? Or is it about finding joy and a wholesome life in everything that you do, in addition to the purpose you feel you have for yourself, like fulfilling yourself? Like, I think all of those things are such really connectable subjects for adults, that the kids can watch the bubbles talking and the adults can go like, I hope I'm not wasting my life.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really cool. I think it's a really special movie. And I would suggest, if you haven't done it, on Disney Plus, they have like 8 little 6 to 10 minute extra clips.
I haven't seen those, no.
They're great. It's like, there's a lot of stuff with the director. The director, like Joe Gardner, is kind of based on his life.
Okay.
Because he's born in New York. He's also African-American guy. He was also a musician. He was the one who fought to have like the barbershop scene, because that's such a big part of Black culture. And it's so amazing. The barbershop
scene is awesome.
Maybe it's the best scene. It's so special, you know, and like, it's cool to see that in a kid's movie, because they never get to see that sort of thing.
Yeah. That's true.
It's so real. It's like, oh man, I think I'm going to watch it again, because I was so enthralled by little parts of it that I think I missed the bigger story in a way. You know, like I was sometimes watching him as a musician and being like, oh, that's cool how they animated exactly the right keys that he's playing. It's exactly right.
And when they played this, but that's I think some form of fucked up mindset you develop as a musician. I also have that when they play music, when the band plays, I watch the symbols of the drummer.
Yeah.
Are the movements
and
right?
It's exactly.
Dude,
right.
I'm rewatching Alf.
Oh, really?
At the moment, and it's awesome. Still, but there are a few scenes where Alf plays music.
And it's not.
And I watch, does it work out? And obviously with those three fingers on his paws, he can't really play guitar, but they really made the drum playing accurate. And I think that's this fucked up thing with musicians, that you start to focus on such things and maybe miss out
on like, what's the, like, you're watching the instrument being played as opposed to like watching the scene.
Yeah. And like, give me the perfect simulation. Come on.
Yeah. But it's good that they did that though. And there's also a really cool behind the scene with John Baptiste, because they really modeled the playing and even the fingers off of him.
Ah, crazy.
And they asked him, like, you know, there's this scene in the beginning where he's teaching the class and he talks about like when he got inspired to play piano.
Yeah.
The character.
Yeah.
And then that's all almost like a verbatim real thing from John Baptiste, because they brought him in to model the finger playing.
Yeah.
And then they just asked him a story about, like, hey, you know, if someone were to ask you about getting inspired to play piano.
And that's the story he told.
And he told the one, you know, and the guy goes like, oh, and he put those minors in there, you know, like the little notes. That was all. And they do it side by side with the real story.
Nice.
And it's so cool to see that. Like, nice. What a cool guy.
Gotta watch that. So we can say all in all, highest recommendation, go out and watch on Disney Plus, Soul.
I was gonna say, I know it's not our longest episode, but if we wanna, it's like 3:45 here. If you want to, we could wrap it up a little early, because then we could still have time to talk a little business and then even play some Switch before I have to go.
That's totally fine for me. Then one last thing I want to ask.
Unless
you,
there's anything, that you really want to talk about.
No, there's only one thing. What is your resolution, if you want to call it so, with this podcast for this year?
Oh, man. What I would love to do is I would love to double our listener base. I would love to do that. I mean, that would maybe like finding new ways to market, find a new energy for ways to spread it, like an interesting techniques and things that we haven't thought of. We never thought about branching out clips of this or like, for example, there's a podcast that is very okay, but the clips of it are great. And it's called Raiders of the Lost Podcast.
Okay.
Have you ever seen any clips on the TikTok? So basically, it's two twin brothers. They're maybe like early 20s. I mean, the podcast is totally fine. I can listen to some episodes. It's not the most consistently entertaining podcast, so I don't listen to everything they do. But it's only about film.
Okay.
So like, I love it because I can nerd out on things. They do like, oh, we're going to do an episode on the Matrix trilogy. Oh, we're going to talk about Christopher Nolan. We're going to talk about Wes Anderson. And they do a good job. And these obviously are film nerds, and I respect film nerds, and I can really get into what they're talking about because they talk about really nerdy stuff. And that's my thing.
No.
But the way that I found them was on TikTok, because what they did was they film their episodes. They have nice backdrops and a nice little studio setting. And then, you know, they probably started off with nobody listening, just a few people, a few friends. But the way they do their clips on TikTok with, like, you know, putting up, that, you know, they're talking about movies. So, of course, while they're talking, they show like a little clip of the movie on top of their talking, an image of the actor they're talking about. They might do different things like they'll have clips of the show, but then another clip they're going to have like one of them talking to the camera saying like, here's my top 10 performances of 2020 or something. It's all about film. It's only about this topic, but they do it in different kind of catchy ways for TikTok. And you saw their listener base grow like huge, like exponentially because of how they marketed it on TikTok. And now you can see that the listeners have grown a lot on like iTunes and stuff. The ratings and stuff grew. And even I started listening to it because I saw the clips and was like, this looks like a cool podcast. You know, I got into it. Even though the podcast isn't like great, the marketing is good enough where I still sometimes, I mean, I subscribe. You know?
So you want to say we just need to combine your TikTok videos with this podcast?
I should be like, here's Fart Flute. By the way, check out Artsy Fartsy Immigrants on iTunes or Deezer. Yeah, I really need to. I would say, like, I'd love to double the listener base.
Basically, it is the Artsy Fartsy Immigrant topic, wondering about complex German.
Complex German. Yeah, we should like, maybe after, like, episode or whatever, like, series, I don't know, 25 or something that I do of these videos, we can do, like, we can talk about them on an episode. But I would like to at least double the listener base, find a new interesting way to market, maybe take advantage of these video clips in a cool way. And I would love to hopefully get a sponsor and hopefully be able to have enough listeners where making merchandise makes sense. Have like an artsy fartsy t-shirt.
That would be awesome.
Or an artsy fartsy beanie. You know, or artsy fartsy ball cap, or you know, tote bag or something, like, because you and I are always sporting hats and t-shirts, and bags are really common here in Germany for groceries. So just something like where we could say, hey, if you want to support the show, you know, if you like what you hear, go to the site and, like, you know, buy a t-shirt or something. And I know like 4 people right now that would do that, but I would love to have like 100 people that I know that would do that. You know, that'd be cool.
That'd be awesome.
But yeah,
I mainly hope we can find many more awesome guests.
Yeah.
And at some point, not just only call them, but meet them.
I can't whatever wait until we can meet our guests.
Whatever the...
In studio. Yeah.
The situation will be throughout this year, we still obviously don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be something that would really make me happy. Plus, the stuff you mentioned also sounds pretty good.
Oh man, yeah, the guests are definitely like, that was a given. Like, I really want to have a lot of more interesting guests this year, and hopefully see them again soon, because we have that new studio in 4.5. So
it is still work in progress, but I would say it will be finished before we are able to invite guests there. But in general, I think that's a great way to kind of top it off here, because I just wanted to ask you guys out there, when we talk about what we want to do and expect from this show this year, what do you guys want to hear from Artsy Fartsy Immigrants this year, or topics you want us to touch on, or guests we should feature? Let us know. Hit us up on Instagram at Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, or send us an email to podcast@m945.de.
Absolutely. And if you enjoy this show, you enjoy the other episodes, you can currently support us on patreon.com/JordanPrince. For as low as $3 a month, you can submit to getting personalized content from us, private videos, exclusive openings to new episodes. Don't miss anything else like that. And please, if you enjoy it, go to... you know, maybe iTunes, give us like a rating or a comment or review, because that sort of stuff really helps people find our show way more than you think. It really helps new listeners find us. So that goes a long way. Tell a friend, word of mouth still works just as good as it always did. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the new year, guys. We are really excited to go back strong every week. We're going to see you guys next week, right on schedule. And all right, my friend, this was great.
Yes, sir. Let's have a great 2021.
All right. See you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.